We thank God for that lovely singing. It's always nice to sing and praise God. Shall we turn again to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians, what we read? And I'll just read verse 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, reading verses 1 and 2 again. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. My title of the topic this evening is heaven bound, or if you like, the joy of being heaven bound. Heaven bound, or if you like, the joy of being heaven bound. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of heaven. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of a journey, or when you think of preparing for a trip. Say you are going for a holiday. I'm sure when you are going for a holiday, you always look forward to where you are going and the expectations that you are going to find when you are going for the holiday. As Christians, we are pilgrims in this world. And so we have our destination, and our destination is heaven. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of heaven. Now, the word heaven is the word which has been so much contested, especially in this world. But if you look in the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, it's full of heaven. Yeah? The scriptures is full of heaven, because Christianity is about heaven. Christians is about heaven. Our God is about heaven. If you look into the Bible Concordance, the word heaven itself appears about 700 times in the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It appears 700 times, and you can see how consistent it is. And not only that it appears about 700 times, but it appears in almost all the books of the Bible. About 44 books of the Bible, the word heaven or heavens appears in there. And that's how important this word is and what it means to us as Christians. It appears about 44 books of the Bible. That is a study for you, for yourself, if you go into the Concordance, and then you prove that about 44 books heaven, mentioned the word heaven or heavens. And that's how it is important to us. Now, we read from the scripture that we have read concerning our dwelling place and where we are, and what awaits us when we go to heaven. What is the meaning of heaven to you? Or what is the meaning of heaven to me as a Christian, or as a believer, or as a pilgrim who is passing away from this presence? Because we know that, as we read from the scripture, that where we are, this is our temporal home, but we have a home which is waiting for us. And that is a heavenly home, not built by any human hands, but built by God's hands. As I say that the word heaven is the word that has been contested so much, in that in some circles, people say that there's no heaven. But scriptures is very straightforward, and we'll come to know and we'll read why, to prove that heaven is there. And heaven is real. And heaven is real for us as Christians. And heaven is something that we should be looking forward to as Christians. Because there's no place that you can think of in this world that is like heaven. There's no place that we can think of that is like heaven. I don't think there is any place in this world that you can think of the streets which are built of God. Or imagine the entire London, all the streets that you are stepping on, they are all laid with God. But that's what heaven is, and that's what is awaiting us, and that's what we look forward to. And you see, scripture talks of heaven having the prairie girls. It talks of the golden streets. This is the place that we are going to. And this is the place that is awaiting us. And this is the place where we should always be looking forward to as Christians. Because this is not our world. We are just pilgrims and we are just passing through. And so if this is not our world and we are pilgrims and we are just passing through, then our eyes should be focused to our home, and our home is heaven. Quickly, shall we look at the three distinctive meaning of heaven according to the scriptures? Three distinctive meaning of heaven according to scriptures. Then later on, we'll see the good five or six good things that Christians should expect to be in heaven, and why we should be always thinking of going and be in heaven to be with the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he said that I'm between two, to be present in the body or to be absent or to be with the Lord, which is far much better. You see, it is my prayer that as we consider these things and as we see a glimpse of heaven, may rekindle our desire even for us to move on and soldier on, even as the last song that we sang, "Are We the Soldiers of the Cross?" You know, and move on and heading towards our end, which is heaven. Quickly, let's see what the three things that heaven means. Well, the word heaven in the Hebrew, the Hebrew word for heaven, it means shamim. That's the Hebrew word for heaven. And the Greek word for heaven is oranos. And this can mean that God's dwelling place. This is the place where God is, and this is the place where our God dwells. And this, the Bible established, you know, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. That's what scripture tells us. We read from the book of Psalm 103 that we read in verse 19. It says that the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So we see that heaven is God's dwelling place. It can mean also that it is a throne of God, as it is mentioned in Ezekiel and chapter 28, verse 16, that God's throne is also mentioned in the connection with the mountain of God. The other meaning of heaven, it can be referred to endless planets, as we know, those who have studied geography, yeah? Those who have studied geography, the planets, and can mean the stars, the galaxies, and the universe, the solar system. And also the Bible confirms this when they say, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons, and the stars, which you ordained. That is Psalm and chapter 8. Those who heard last time, we considered Psalm chapter 8. And exactly Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3 say, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. So heaven can also refer to the planets, it can refer to the stars, it can refer to the moons, and it can refer to the galaxies. Thirdly, as scripture records us for us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the Bible speaks of the atmosphere of the surroundings that surrounds the earth, and the heaven or heavens, but we must note the biblical context to understand the three meanings of heaven. It is God's dwelling place. It can refer just to the planets, the stars, the galaxies, but mostly it is God's dwelling place. And this is the place that is reserved for us as Christians. This is our destination. This is where we are going. This is why we have believed, because heaven is our destination. You know, words can fall short to describe how beautiful heaven is. There's no man who can describe how beautiful heaven is. There's no man who can describe how wonderful heaven is. But as scripture encourages us that we can see it by sight and by faith, we know that when we shall get there, then we shall know and we'll be able to know how things that awaits for us. You know, it's a place. In this world, we have so many user words. In the world of internet, we do have our emails, we do have so many things. When you want to get into the website or when you want to get into the email, you have a username and you have a password, and the password must be different and must be distinct. But you know, when we get to heaven, we'll have only one password. We'll have only one password for us to open heaven and for us to enter heaven. And who is the password? It's God. Who is the password? It's Christ. Who is the password? It's the Holy Spirit. One password for all those who have trusted upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this not the place that we should hasten to go to? Is it not the place that we should be looking forward to as believers, as Christians? Is this not the place that we should contend for? Is it not the place that we should always be talking about? Is it not the place that we should always openly and tell others about? You know, when you consider the beauties of heaven, and when you consider when it talks of the rivers, that the rivers of life and the truth of life. Last time I think I spoke, we spoke about the rivers and the truth of life. That's just for mention. But we see the other things that are so beautiful when you consider heaven and when you consider being heavenly bound. And you can see the joy that comes with it. You can see the joy that comes with it because it removes all the worries. Regardless, we are focused and we know that our destiny is a good place. It's a place where God is waiting for us. It's a place where is no sufferings, as we shall see. It's a place where everyone should be looking forward to. And you see, scripture could even encourage us that, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. But remember, we must work. Because you see, as long as the last sinner hasn't come in, it means that the train will never take off. It means that the plane will never take off. Until the last sinner comes in, then the Lord shall come and we shall go and meet him to be with him in the air. And so this should invoke our minds as Christians to be soldiers, to be workers, to be laborers, to ensure that we don't lay the train to take off. We don't lay the plane to take off, to go to our promised land, to go to heaven, that beautiful place, that place which we long for, that place where God is waiting for us, that place which is God's dwelling place. Imagine to be in the place where God dwells. Let's quickly look at the things, what heaven is like. Six things what heaven is like. As I mentioned, All things are new. All things are new. There'll be no old things there. That's what we read from the Word of God. And I think we'll spend some time in Revelation and chapter 21. If you can turn with me to Revelation and chapter 21. We'll read verse 1 and 2 to begin with. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. All things are new. There will be no old things there. All things are new. Everything will be new. Everything will be totally different from what we are seeing at the moment. It won't be like the world that we live in. It won't be like what we see now. Everything will be new. As we read again in the Apostle Paul, what he was telling us, to say we'll inherit the house that is not built with human hands, but the house that is built by God's hands himself. All things new. Number two, no tears, no pain. No tears, no pain. And again, we read this in Revelation and chapter 21 and verse 4. What does the word of God says? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is the place, my dear friends, brethren, the place where there will be no tears, the place where there will be no pain, the place where there will be only joy and rejoicing when we shall be in the presence of the Lord. Number three, there will be perfect peace. There will be perfect peace. We may talk of peace now in this world, that we have a measure of peace maybe at some point when you are not being molested, or when you feel free to do one or two things. But it's just the temporal peace. We may have temporal peace in this world, but when we go to heaven, there will be perfect peace. Isaiah tells us this in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20-25, where the word of God considers, imagine the wolf and the lamb feeding together. Imagine the lion eating the straw. Imagine all these things dwelling together, the ox and the dove shall eat the serpent. There shall be no hating of each other. They shall not hate nor destroy in my holy mountain, says the Lord. Imagine the wolf dwelling together with the lamb, the lion playing with animals, not molest. These are dangerous predators, which will not see a little animal there. Not only little animals, even big animals. If the lion is there, it will tear it to pieces. The wolf, you know what the wolf will do to the lamb. But in this place, in heaven, there will be perfect peace. You know, that is how it is compared to the peace that we found in heaven. It will be complete peace, no pain, no tears, all things new. What else do we find in heaven? Scripture tells us that the houses and the vineyards are there. The houses and the vineyards are there. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, before he left, what did he say? If we read John and chapter 14, to say, I go, I go and prepare the house. If it hasn't been so, I would have said that I go. That's John and chapter 14. The Lord has gone before us to prepare the home. But what the scripture says again, that we shall actually build houses there and inhabit them, and we shall plant vineyards, and we shall eat the fruit thereof. That's the prophet Isaiah, and in chapter 65 and verse 21. We shall build houses, and we shall plant vineyards, and we shall eat thereof the vineyards. But moreover, the glory of God fills heaven. The glory of God fills heaven. Is this not the place that we should long for? Is it not the place that we should hasten to go to? Is it not the place that we should tell others to come and join with us? And together we are heavenly bound. And together we see the joy of being heavenly bound. And all that awaits us. And all that awaits us. Is it not the place that we should always encourage others to come with us? Look at the glory that is in heaven. Again, if we read Revelations and chapter 21, just to see the glimpse of what Christ shows us, what is awaiting us, and what we have there. Revelation 21, we read just maybe a few verses there from verse 21. What that scripture says, maybe for the sake of context, we start from verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedon, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardony, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jasmine, and the 12th an amethyst. Now listen from verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs. Every several gate was one pair, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamps is the light thereof. 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Verse 27. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look, this is the place that shall not going to be defiled. It's an undefiled place. It's a pure place. It's a beautiful place. I tell you, nothing, no man can explain the beauties of heaven. No man can explain and ponder, when we ponder upon the beauties of heaven. Is this not the place that we should long for? Is this not the place that we should be looking forward to? Is it not the place that we should say, Lord, even come? Because look, as we say, as the Apostle Paul was encouraging us, that we groan in this body. So many sufferings, so many pains that we go through. But in that place, all things are new. In that place, no tears or pain. In heaven, there will be perfect peace. In heaven, we'll build houses and have vineyards. And in heaven, we'll experience the glory of God. I can't imagine walking those streets of God. Imagine walking the streets of God. Not only that, there are fruits of gardens that we are going to benefit from that. Friends, this is the place that we should belong to. This is the place that we should be looking forward to. This is the place that we should be encouraging each other, even as we soldier on, even as we move on, even as we go on as soldiers. We should be encouraged of these things. We should be encouraged of these things because the Bible is very, very clear concerning our destiny and concerning our heaven where we are going. We shouldn't be deceived, or we shouldn't be worried by people who say that heaven is not real, or people who say that there's no heaven, and people who say that they are going to dwell in this earth. Yes, if that is where the Lord will be. For scripture tells us that we shall be with the Lord where it shall be. You know what? Sometimes people may challenge you to say, flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. It's true. Scripture tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. But what does the word of God say? If we come to, if you go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. The Apostle Paul there could encourage us that, you see, we are not going to receive those who are asleep. Because in the moment, at the last trump, we shall all be changed. And together, we'll do what? We shall be caught up to be with the Lord wherever we shall. So we shall be with the Lord wherever we shall. But one thing that we have established is that the Lord's dwelling is in heaven. The Lord's dwelling is in heaven. And if the Lord's dwelling is in heaven, and if the throne of God is set in heaven, it means that our end and our setup and our destiny will be heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going to heaven, scripture tells us that men of Galilee, while stand gazing upon the heaven, this same Jesus who was taken up from into heaven will come in the like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So the Lord will come and will come and take us to be with him in glory. Let's be encouraged that whilst we groan in this body, whilst we face pains, whilst we face aches, while we suffer, while we go through all difficulties that we can think of, we must be focused that our destiny is heaven and our destiny is to go into God's dwelling place where we shall see God. Now, what is the entrance for you to enter heaven? We talked about the password. For you to open the email or for you to get into some places, you may need a code or a password. What's the code for you, my brother, who has not yet started the journey or who is not yet heavenly bound? As we heard in the morning, there's no other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other password but Christ is the password. There's no other code but believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only code that you need to open heaven and for you to enter heaven. The entrance of heaven is not automatic. as you may think, but it's very simple. It's for you, as the Bible says, it's for you just to trust upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Remember, heaven is pure, and so no undefiled thing shall inherit heaven, as we read from Revelation 21 and verse 27. Heaven is pure, and no pure thing shall enter into heaven. And so the qualifying factor for you who is not yet a believer, for you who is not yet on the bound to heaven, is for you to trust upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then your name shall be written in the book of Lamb, because that's the passport, as we read. That's the passport, and that's one reason that you need to have for you to enter heaven. And so let's be encouraged as we think of heaven, and as we move on, and as we soldier on, and as we prepare ourselves to go and meet our Lord. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, it may be just in the moment. Are you prepared to go to heaven? Brethren, I can't imagine what awaits out there, what awaits for us out there. And so let's encourage each other that as we journey in this world, as we think of the things that besets us, or the things that sometimes be a hindrance unto us, always think of these things. That you see, we have the place where all things are new, where there is no tears, pain, where things are perfect, where the glories of God are, which is the God's dwelling place. And this is the place where we shall be with him, wherever he shall be. And so let us encourage ourselves as we move on and as we journey, that soon, or later, but sooner, that the train, the glory train may take off, and the plane may take off, that we may meet our Lord, to be with him in the air, where there shall be no pain. Is it not a good thing for you who hasn't believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Come and be part of this heavenly bound, and be part of this glory train that shall soon take off, that together we may enter the glory of God.